Yes. Okay.
We'll start in a moment with the pledge and the minutes, but I just want to ask if, you know, we can take out of order anything that any of the department heads are here for, so you don't have to stay for the whole meeting if you don't want to. So that would be 391 and the pilots.
I'm here for.
I'm sorry.
I have quite a few, so I would cede to planning.
Okay.
I would cede to child care needs.
Anything after 391 has departments here. Anything after 391 has departments here. So whichever way you want.
Yeah, you're.
So he's saying 391, 392, 391 on all has somebody here to speak about.
Okay,
it.
And then we'll come back to 272. Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
All right, so with that, I would like to call the September 5th, 2019 meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee to order and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to discuss resolution number 391.
So
Mary.
Okay. Chris? Resolution 391, did you want to speak to that?
This is the seeker finding for the Midtown Linear Park. This is the trail that runs, is proposed from Westbrook Lane back to Cornell Street. It's 0.8 miles. You had previously authorized engineering and right-of-way incidentals last year and created the capital project. We have looked at the issues around impacts to various resources, and we have before you a negative declaration for this type 1 action. The reason it was classified as a type 1 action, you may remember, is because of its proximity to several properties that are on the state and national historic register. It wasn't listed for any other reason, so it would have been an unlisted action but for that. And we found that basically the action that we're proposing to convert it to trail would not only not have an adverse impact, but it would clean up contamination in the former rail yard and a lot of debris and broken fencing and blight that still remains on it, even though some of it's been cleaned up. Do you want to add?
I just would mention that we did have a no adverse effect letter with respect to the historic resources on it. So that's in the packet as well. So that's the other reason. The main reason was a type 1 action was because of that. The state historic preservation officer has indicated that there's no historic impact on the historic issues.
I would just like to ask our attorney, one of the reasons I asked that it be postponed last night in Public Works was I was just not clear on the SECR implications, and also Legislator Litz had some modification that he wanted to see incorporated, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it and confirm.
I just have a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Please.
First of all, I think that I'm impressed by the detail and thoroughness of it. What I especially like is that you've looked at the individual seeker questions and gone through it and given us, you know, answers. I have follow-up questions on a couple of them.
Sure.
First, on the one that you identified as sort of the most important, or the reason why it was classified as a type 1 action, which is the potential impact on neighboring historic properties. I just want to clarify essentially why it's not an impact. And the basic reason, as I understood it, so the committee's clear, and so I'm clear, is that essentially this is at lower grade than the neighboring property. So even if it's in proximity, you know, looking down at a map, physically, yeah, one is not going to see the other because we're just at different levels in terms of terms of altitude.
Correct, and the elevation. And the other thing is that when the railroad was built, anything that was significant in that area for the burial ground, which pre-existed the railroad, had already been moved, so there were no.
So
it was already a disturbed.
So nothing was in the grade, and also from a visual scenario,
everything else was up on the hillside. Yeah.
The second question I have is something that I didn't see discussed, and I want to make sure we've got it, because it's actually something that should be fairly obvious or fairly important when it comes to an at-grade bike path, which is you've got several crossings of city streets, and the dual questions are, is there any potential, but I apologize if I missed it because I've only reviewed this for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. Is there any potential impact on traffic congestion issues in terms of, you know, crossing these streets? And probably more importantly or more commonly, is there any potential impact on safety with respect to the crossing of that grade? And how is that question being handled in terms of signage, or what are we doing about potential crossing issues?
So we didn't do a traffic study because the roads that it goes across, like Down Street and O'Neill, are relatively, they don't have generate a lot of traffic.
So you've done a thumbnail view that there's no chance for congestion issues.
No, because it's not generating, there's no parking associated with it along there. The use is primarily through the local use of the neighborhood surrounding there. At Cornell Street, there's a safety issue, but we're dealing with that through the design process. So all of the ASHTO standards, which guide pedestrian and bicycle facilities, will be incorporated into that. So a couple of those roadways, particularly Cornell, are overly wide.
Mm-hmm.
They have your travel lane plus a lot of extra pavement. So we're going to narrow that in the design, and then have bump outs so that the pedestrians and the bikes have less of a crossing. The bikes will have warning and or stop signs. The approaching traffic on both directions will have trail signs, and they'll be striped. We've actually looked at doing it on Cornell Street. We realigned the configuration of the where the railroad used to meet the road so that it was squared up better. And that, of course, you know, the closest distance between two points is a line, and it makes it easier for pedestrians to cross. So that wouldn't be dealt with in the seeker, but it will be dealt with in the design, which has to go through a full DOT approval process. So they look at those standards.
And the other cross streets, is there going to be any treatment to handle the conflict issue of
on all of them? Yes. And that's standard for our trails.
So some combination of warning signs, stop signs for the bikes.
Yeah, on grade markings, signage. Even for Cornell, it could be a change of the medium, you know, so that you have something that's a little bit raised or you know, that you see that there's a change coming up.
Legislator Hebner?
First of all, I just want to thank Legislative Council for what I thought were really good questions and for your review. From the purview of this committee, Energy and Environment, I would really like to see us move this forward. I think, you know, I actually represent a district that the border of my district is the new Ashokan Rail Trail. However, I can honestly say that it might not be the most politically best thing to say, but I'm more excited about the potential impact of this project and the community that it'll have on the community. And I think it's necessary. I think they deserve it. I think under our purview in this committee, we should move it forward. And I hope that we can do that tonight.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. The ironic thing, in the city of Kingston, there are 11 municipal parks within the confines of the city of Kingston. And interestingly enough, due to the geography of the city of Kingston, this neighborhood, where the most densely populated area of the city, is green space deprived. And the fact that this is going to bring green space to a section of the city where people live, I think, is very important, much needed. And the fact that we're going to be cleaning up a contaminated area, or having this cleaned up and made open and available to the public and be an amenity to the public rather than just a closed up area that's people have never had access to, I think is all for the good. And I just think it's time we move forward on this, and I would hope we can vote on this tonight.
We will very shortly. I do want to just ask, my confusion, and I probably should know this, but I really wanted to check the fact that it's a neg deck on a contaminated site. Even though it's remediation and it's improving the site, I just wanted to be sure. That was one of my concerns, and I just would like to double check that.
The contamination doesn't change any of the legal standards with respect to the declaration of significance. The fact of the type 1 changes it slightly, and I can mention that, but contamination in that context is just like any other environmental issue. It's the job of first the committee and then the legislature to assure itself that there's going to be no adverse environmental impact, no matter what the particular environmental issue is, and contamination would be one. The fact that it's a type 1 action means that you really need to, you want to be sure about it, and in particular to look at the issues that made it a type 1 action, which in this case is the historic issues and that any further explanation. So it's the job of the committee and ultimately the legislature to evaluate the explanation and to be satisfied because you're certifying that it's going to have no adverse environmental impacts.
Great. Legislator Litz, we are discussing Resolution 391,
okay.
Which is the SECRE determination, and you have you had your concerns addressed about
the wording of the resolution.
Yeah.
It is an egg deck.
Yes.
But I will tell you, it's not a type 2 act. And the opening statement in the EAF is that this is a type 1 action and requires a full EAF, of which was done.
Yes.
So why don't we word the resolution to say exactly what we did and what the process was? Whereas it was determined that this is a type 1 action and a full EAF was performed, and the determination made by the EAF is that this is a positive impact, in that we're cleaning up contaminated materials, which that report was very short on. And I didn't know there were any contaminated materials out there until Chris brought it to our attention in the meeting last night. There's obtrusive lighting that's out there that is going to be corrected. Why not put all of these things in the resolution so that the people that read the resolution understand that the county's done due diligence and looked at it, and we've gone through the environmental process. The resolution is very short, really doesn't say a whole heck of a lot. It just needs to be reworded so it's transparent to the people reading it that we've done our due diligence.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion with one modification. I think using the word positive when we're giving it a negative declaration could be confusing. So I think to say exactly what you said, but say there is a benefit to this, and the project is being given a negative declaration.
I like the word positive, because and you can say a positive benefit in that we are cleaning up contamination. We're correcting obtrusive lighting. And you can just list right in the warehouses the things that have either been mitigated or that we are having a positive effect on.
So pursue this because it's a response to what I said. I think that all is fine. There's a very different legal course, and the council can confirm this or correct me, but there's a very different legal course that comes from a positive declaration than a negative declaration. So we can talk about all the positives and then give a negative declaration, and then I have no difficulty, because then we have completed a certain type of legal process and moved to a very different place in the secret cookbook.
I guess what I'll do is explain what I just said. It is a negative declaration that has a positive effect on the environment.
That's
the way I would like it worded. It's not that it's a positive declaration. It's a negative declaration that has a positive effect on the environment because we went through the process.
I'll address both of Legislator Litz's points. First of all, on the positive declaration, negative declaration, Legislator Nolan has it right. This is
it is a negative declaration.
So I just caution care, as we use the word positive a lot. Although these are essentially positive findings, but in the language of SECRE, it can cause confusion. So it's got to be very carefully drafted, whatever we do, as a quote-unquote positive. It's a neg deck. On your other point, which is well taken regarding how empty the resolution itself was, there are two possible courses of action. One is to significantly amend the resolution with a list of the findings, and to a great extent, a negative declaration should do what they've done in their attached material, which is to go through all of the potential impacts like land and water and air and transportation and safety, and report, you know, and the finding of no significant adverse impacts. So you can amend the resolution to do that, or I might suggest that you just attach their report as the reason to the short resolution, as the reasons for the to the extent the committee and the legislature agrees with it, that's the clean way to say, for the reasons in the attached report, we're finding that there's
no... But I'll bet you my constituents don't read the attached report, but they will read the resolution.
We could redraft the resolution if that's important.
I just sort of wrote down, whereas Ulster... whereas this project will be a benefit to the community by improving lighting, removing contamination, and providing green space to this neighborhood community or to the neighboring community,
And whereas the county has conducted a full environmental assessment form and found no significant adverse impact, and.
I think it says
both. Yeah. Whereas the Ulster County has determined that this is a type 1 action, mm-hmm. and has completed a full environmental assessment form, and has determined that there are no significant adverse environmental impacts, and then resolved.
To the contrary, there are positive impacts. And
okay, Fawn had that first. But yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I just said a benefit to the community rather than.
Yeah.
Whereas Ulster County has conducted a full environmental assessment and determined there's no
significant adverse environmental impact. That's
in the resolve. If they want to put it in the word,
I have a question.
I think it's in there.
In the resolve. The language is in the resolve.
But if you're putting it in the whereas, it doesn't really matter. It's mostly informational.
The whole point of SEACR is to show that you've taken a good look, and if you said we took a good look in the whereas, that's valuable. Good hard luck.
And we said that, but we'd want to keep it in the
resolve. Yeah, but you can summarize it in one of the whereas.
No, you can amend it from here.
Yeah. It's that substitute, not the.
Okay. It's the whereas, it's not the resolve.
Okay. If I may, a couple of things. One is that I think your attorney would agree that one of the things you want to do is hit all of the things that are necessary and required under the secret documentation and under the statutes and regulations and court cases. And that's what this resolution attempts to do. It also, quite frankly, in many instances, in all instances, follows the resolutions where the legislature has issued negative declarations in the past. Starting to sort of embellish on that legal language to me is somewhat. I would say if we're going to do embellishments around the things that Legislator Litz talked about. In particular, I think that the idea that in the whereas clauses, whereas the legislature has, that there's a positive impact relative to the project and it provides green spaces, et cetera. But I would urge consideration of leaving the legal languages, particularly in the resolve sections, because it follows a format that the county attorney's office has been familiar with, certainly the planning department has been familiar with, through at least four or five different negative declarations that we've issued. That's just a two cents kind of discussion. I apologize for.
Go ahead.
No, I totally agree with it.
Okay.
But I believe in the past, we haven't been as transparent as we should have been. We've passed negative declarations that just said, it's type 2 actions, negative declaration, there it goes. You can change the name on the top to any project you want. And I don't think that's the way we should proceed in the future. I think it should be more specific to the project so that the people that read these can understand them and know that we're doing what we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. and not refer to us, and I probably shouldn't even say what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to say it.
I agree with that. As Chairman Green would remember, I had a conversation with her earlier in the year with respect to a neg deck that was recommended by the committee and passed by the committee for recommendations to the legislature, and I felt that it would be important going forward in ensuring that essentially we were doing neg decks right and making sure that we understood where the county was coming from, that the county had looked at all the significant impacts. And I know that they produced a really good document which does do that, and I believe that it would help us to begin to go through the process of looking at the resolutions of recording the fact that we've looked at these. And so I think as time goes forward, I think we ought to begin morphing the resolutions to reflect the work that we've done and the work that the county has done. Whether we need to do that for this particular one is up to the committee.
Yes. I think where my issue came about last night was, if you read the first resolve, it says, pursuant to SECR, the Ulster County Legislature hereby determines that the project will not require the preparation of draft environmental impact statement, and that the project will not have a significant environmental impact, and be it further. But the document I read is this thick, and it's a full EAF. And that resolve says we're not doing it.
I can explain that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's helpful. What you're doing now is the recommendation you're doing to the legislature is called a declaration of significance. It's a linchpin determination in SECR. Very often it requires a lot of hard look, a lot of looking at a whole variety of environmental issues, but the purpose of it is, as the resolution records, is to determine whether an environmental impact statement is necessary. As much work as has apparently already been done as part of the long environmental assessment form, an environmental impact statement would be even a much, much bigger project, taking a much longer amount of time. So what you're doing now is you're looking at that initial work, which is substantial, in the legal terms, it's taking a hard look, and you're determining that because of the work, that's a hard look, and because that you're satisfied there's no significant adverse environmental impacts, you don't have to do that much larger look, which is called an environmental impact statement. That's what the language
is. And my point is if that you put in there that it was determined that it was a type 1 action and a full EAF was prepared, and based upon the review of that, the project will not require the preparation of a draft impact statement, so that people understand that we went through the process and not just, and I'll say it, not do what the town of Kingston did. Okay?
Thank you. So the one thing, I mean, just to legislate to the point, I hear what you're saying. I mean, ultimately, though, what you're saying probably belongs more to whereas to, and again, council can sort of go and correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, to a certain degree, that language almost has to be, written that way in terms of the resolved. Just legally, it needs to be, read and printed that way. And so maybe some of your concerns are more explanatory, and maybe they belong in the resolution, just maybe in a different section. That's all.
So I would suggest is a whereas that says, whereas pursuant to SECR, the Ulster County Legislature has considered the significance of potential environmental impacts of the project by using the criteria and the regulations, examining the EAF for the project, including the facts and conclusions, parts 1, 2, and 3 of the environmental assessment form, together with available supporting information, and see, thoroughly analyze the areas of relevant environmental concern. I would suggest that we then say, and then we put in the whereas that Legislator Litz was suggesting that Fawn was giving us some language for the positive things.
And I would also, in the beginning of that whereas, that it was determined that the project is a type 1 action and a full EAF was submitted.
I don't have it.
There
is a whereas that says, whereas pursuant to Resolution 244 of 2019, the Ulster County Legislature reclassified the project as a type 1 action due to the proximity of several historic properties, and again declared its intent to act as lead agency for a coordinated review under SECR.
Right.
Perhaps that's where you insert did the full EAF.
Which is where the last night's discussion started, because that talks about historical property. It doesn't talk about the contamination, the 2 feet deep of contamination. It doesn't talk about the obtrusive lighting that we're going to change to make the environmental more friendly. That only talks about we did it because it was historical property.
And you're saying we should highlight the good stuff we're doing.
Why not let our constituents know that we did the due diligence and this is the result?
Is there a way that we can formalize these amendments and still address this tonight so that we can
I have a slightly different suggestion. I did speak with Legislator Petit earlier because I was not able to be at public comments last night where this was discussed, and she was open to the idea of calling a special meeting where Public Works could look at this resolution and perhaps the other resolution as well. So if we that would be a special meeting of that. So I think we would need to get passed here unless we also were going to have another special meeting of this committee.
I would suggest getting this information to our attorney and to the staff so that it'll be ready and that we have a joint meeting and just go ahead. I think it's really hard to wordsmith in, and we tried that recently and it kind of backfired. But I think it's really, unless you think we're ready. Go ahead.
You know, I totally understand where Legislator Litz is coming from in terms of always, you know, we should always be looking within ourselves at how we can be more transparent, you know, to the public and moving forward. But again, you know, we're talking about a really crucial project and we're talking about whereases. We're also, I mean, I think it's great that there is positives coming from this, and of course I want the public to know about the positives coming from this, but again, the purpose of this resolution is a neg deck. It's to declare that there are no, that we will not negatively impact the environment. The purpose of this resolution is not to highlight the positivities of what's going to come with the project. You know, this is a legal process we're following. You know, so I think to hold up, you know, this is a very, we're following a process that's required by law as a neg deck. That's the purpose of this resolution. You know, I think, you know, if we want to, but I don't think we should hold up the resolution for the purpose of whereases that, you know, I think they're great and I understand the intent, that don't actually fall into the legal process that we need to follow, and that's the intention of this resolution. That's my concern. Especially, like we said, we have a long history of, you know, we have a history of neg decks, there's an intention for this resolution, and it's to declare the neg deck. That is which the purpose is. It's that simple.
Legislator, let's.
I'm all fine with that until I found out there's contamination in this property that needs to be removed. You can't say that, well, it's just negative. It's not going to harm anything to do this project. Now, the EAF says we're going to remove it. That's a positive thing. And you're right. As long as we do that, it's a neg deck. But I think it's worthy of rewriting. And we can all meet next week. It's not going to hold up a vote if we get the wording right between now and next Tuesday.
Yes.
If I could either make a recommendation or ask that, it seems like everybody who kind of wants this resolution reworded is on the Public Works Committee. This has already unanimously passed Economic Development. If this could pass this committee so that it doesn't have to be a joint meeting, as written, and then next week or right before session when Public Works gets together, it could be amended and then passed.
If you substantially change the wording, it becomes a different resolution. What Economic Development voted on, and then you're going to amend it tonight, and then we're going to change the wording and vote on it next Tuesday with Public Works. There's three different resolutions.
No, I'm saying don't amend it tonight.
That's not.
Don't amend it.
resolution
vote on what economic development voted on.
And then
once.
Amend it.
And we, I think I've, you know, Dave and I can work out the language to try to meet the goal that you're asking. I mean, the irony of the law, as I fill out these, oftentimes it says, is there going to be an impact on a particular resource, air or water? And they're only talking about the negative. So the structure itself drives that kind of negative connotation. It doesn't have a part on the form like, what are the great things that you're going to do? You know, I would love that because I could extol that. But I think we could put that in the whereas, and that's a minor enough adjustment. If we don't tweak the resolutions,
yeah,
we can put in the transparency piece and still have the legal piece with the resolution. And I'm, you know, I'm sure we're close on the...
We can turn the language around by tomorrow.
Yeah, we can
do it
really
quickly.
Whereas
is we don't have to, it's not a significant change.
So why don't we draft something and get it to you to review, and we can... Then you can amend it as you need for the next committee meeting.
That's what we spoke about last night?
Yeah. Cool. And we can do that in Public Works before the session.
Right.
And it's my understanding, even if you make a substantive change in this, if those committees object to it, it can be referred back. You know, it could always be referred back. But on local laws, you have to go back to square one. But on resolutions, you don't, if you, even if you're making substantive changes.
Yeah. Let's just get it right.
Okay, so with that understanding, which is recorded, I would like to call for a vote on this resolution, which we anticipate will be amended with wording that reflects exactly what you said and is put into the appropriate place with our legislative council. Are folks sure. ready to entertain that? So, all in favor of resolution number 391, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under, you know what? yes, under SECRA by the Ulster County Legislature, for the construction of the Ulster County Midtown Linear Park, PIN 8761.82, capital project number 479. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion carries.
And may I ask the privilege of the floor for 1 minute to follow up on something from last night?
In a moment, because we have several other, and I was actually...
May I just send around these letters then? This is the letter that I promised at the committee last night.
Okay.
You guys had asked about the track, and we have... I think Brian got a copy.
I want to come back and refer to this and put that in context, but I also, just in case anyone has to leave or whatever, I failed to... ask for approval of the minutes, and also Tim only needs to give a quick report, and we have several other resolutions.
So you want a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second by John. A vote on approval of the minutes of August 8th, Energy and Environment Committee meeting.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Around. And Tim, would you like to just brief us so that we can get back to the resolutions and this conversation?
I'm not going to repeat myself, but to tell you guys, it's for the past couple of years, our bids were up for the transportation and disposal. And for the past couple of years, I was warning people, anybody that would listen, that we could expect probably about 20% increase in the tipping fees and the rates, which was substantial. So we did our due diligence, we put a lot of money away. We're at about 22% of our operating budget in reserves. The State Controller's Office wants us between 10 and 20%, so we're at 22. But we also plan to make some expenditures over the last couple of years, some large expenditures for equipment. We knew what was going to happen January 1st of this year, and I was expecting a 20% increase. We opened the bids for the final disposal. That came in at 10%. I was expecting 20% of the final disposal and 20% of the trucking. When I opened the first set of bids at 10%, I'm like, thank goodness, maybe I'm wrong. But then I opened up the trucking and it came up at 30%. We rebid, got a little better rebids. I changed the way the bid specs were. Still came up around 30%. So when you put them together, it still came out at 20%, which is what I was expecting for the past couple of years. So, with all that being said, we drafted our budget. We're not having any increases in the budget for any of our services, other than the garbage tipping fee, and that's only going to go up less than 2%. It's going to go from 103 to 105. So we're keeping all that in check. We did our due diligence and planned ahead for this. It's probably going to go up another $2 maybe a year after, another maybe 2% or so. But we're actually, in reality, we're actually going up around $11 a ton, not just two. So, but we've got the money reserved to handle all that. We made some, the biggest thing is we made our adjustments in our capital plan as well. So,
Tim?
Yes.
We're losing, if the RRA is going to lose $10 a ton on 100,000 plus tons a year, means you're losing $1 million a year?
Yeah, but that's not coming out of our reserves totally. It's because we made changes in our capital plan. We made those expenditures up front. We made, you know, several $1 million in capital improvements over the past couple of years with equipment and so forth. And we still kept our tipping fee at 103 from 2013 up until this year. So for 6 years, we didn't raise the tipping fee at all. Zero. This year, I'm going to have to raise it $2. So we put all our plans in place. We're sitting down with our controller, sitting down with our operations guy. Over the past couple of years, we just planned and planned and planned and planned, and it worked out. So.
And there was one other increase, and that was on, is a $2 per pull, so the towns will pay an extra $2 for each container that's pulled. My main concern is, and you know, I hate to see prices go up, but I think only 11% of the waste in is from municipalities, so the other 89% is now being subsidized. So rather than raising the tipping fee to where it should be based on your contracts, we're now subsidizing the private sector, and I don't think that's a good idea. I think they should have to pay with the current.
Nobody's subsidizing anybody. Everybody gets the same tipping fee. All right. So, and again, we're not drawing down reserves. We changed our capital budgets. We planned over the past few years, so that's not totally correct. Nobody's subsidizing anybody.
Well, but they're not paying the total amount, so you're offsetting your fees by using money that was put into reserves when the tipping fee may have been able to be a little bit lower.
No.
So the everyone should be paying what the actual cost is.
No, that's not true.
Disposal.
Our volume went up over the past few years, so we had extra funds. And I was able to buy those capital things that we were planning on doing in the recent year earlier because I had excess funds. So I don't have to make those capital plan expenditures anymore. So I was able to bring that capital plan down.
I'm going to apologize right now. She's still right. That's not, I mean, you may have found other ways to go and save money to enhance revenue, but you're still, if you're not charging what it costs, then we are de facto at some level subsidizing that. Mind you, you're subsidizing across the board by maintaining a slightly lower tipping fee than what costs actually are. So at a certain point, you're still... I think you're still subsidizing at some level.
No, we're not subsidizing anybody. Take a look at the budget. It's a zero line. There's a zero line in that budget.
I'd rather see that money go into composting bins or additional household.
You're not correct. Take a look at the budget. I gave it to Manna. I gave it to the chairman of the legislature. I gave it to Lynn Archer. I gave it to the county executive's office. Right. It's a zero line budget on the bottom. Mm-hmm. If I was drawing out of reserves, it would be a negative. So please take a look at the budget. What you're saying is not correct.
If you have additional revenues coming from other sources, you're still. I mean, and again, I'm not saying that if the board has decided on that, that's fine. That's not a, you know, that's why we actually have a board. That's why we appoint a board, right? So it's actually not coming back. Like,
well, where's the revenue coming from other sources? I don't understand. Where's the revenue coming from?
You just said that you found additional savings by. I'm assuming you were actually. And again, I have to get you a look at this, by the way. But I'm saying, based off of this discussion right here, you're still at some level, and again, it's okay that the board is not charging the full amount for what your costs
are. We are charging the full amount. It's in the budget. It's a zero line. If it were a negative line at the bottom of that budget, yes, we'd be drawing out of reserves. We're not drawing out of reserves.
and there's no other revenue sources. It's again, we plan this accordingly. We looked at we have to do a 5-year capital plan for the ABL. Okay, we moved some of those capital expenditures in earlier years when we had excess volume. We had a lot of excess volume we weren't planning on, so we had extra funds. We purchased that. Our capital plan now, expenditures for next year have dropped drastically. And because of that planning, we're able to only increase about $105 up to $105 a ton rather than $103. And we're still not drawing out of the reserves. So we're good. And not only that, but I put employee drops in that budget when you take a look at it. We left some employees, or some employees left. We didn't fill their positions. So there's a drop in insurance costs there.
I'm going to also add one other topic so that we can get back to. I didn't realize this would be, this much discussion, which it's important to have if people have concerns. But we do have a Solid Waste Planning Commission, and we've talked about this there and given input, and the board decided what the board decided. I do want to add, though, that the Solid Waste Management Plan is now up for review by that commission, and there are three members of each caucus plus three members of the agency board on that commission. And so that's sort of the next major thing that will involve the legislature, that meeting is September 12th. Ultimately, we do not need to approve the agency's budget, as far as I understand, unless they come to the legislature for a net service fee. So their board has accepted, and, you know, similar comments were made to the agency through that commission. So I think I'd like to move back to the other issues at hand, if people are okay with that. But I did want to mention that the full draft of the 10-year plan is available now, and we'll be shifting our focus to that on September 12th. So I'd like to get back to, thank you, Tim,
thank you.
Unless there's anything else.
Wait, the budget's on file, right, with the clerk for legislature?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to get back to the resolutions, and Chris, I interrupted you, but let's get back to your letter, and then we'll get back to the resolutions.
Okay. Just 1 minute. Last night in Public Works, there seemed to be a dispute about 300 feet of track just to the west of Colonel Chandler Drive, which is the I-587 overpass. The committee was uncomfortable moving forward with the vote because they thought if we do the design work, we won't have another shot at changing this, and we should have a track committee. I made a commitment last night that if the legislature has time before we go to construction, if you decide to have a track committee meeting and you determine that the 300 feet that we're calling for to be removed, and we're removing it basically for public safety, lighting, and visibility concerns, if you determine that you want it in there, we will change the plan. I also called my engineer because there was a concern, well, that's going to cost extra money. He confirmed to me that was, you know, very little effort to go back, because these are basically, just typical sections that he's doing, and he could change that easily and at no cost. So the committee had asked me to put that in writing, and that's what you have today, and we would appreciate, the reconsideration next week when Public Works meets again. Thank you.
I would just make a recommendation, if the track committee was going to discuss that they invite in, or at least correspondence from Brad Jordan, the underlying landlord of that property, and find out if, you know, long-term CMRR is going to be allowed to stay in that location, because if we're changing design plans for the trail because we believe CMRR may keep trains in 300 feet, we should make sure that they're going to be allowed to stay there beyond a year or two.
And what Mark is referring to is that where the trains are is on the northern boundary of the right-of-way. So everywhere where they park cars and they sell tickets and they have a platform is actually on Brad Jordan's property. And if he were to not, we've never seen a long-term agreement with Brad Jordan. And if he turned around next year because of the Kingstonian or the new supermarket and said, hey, you got to get out of there, they literally have, you know, they would have to move further west than the plaza. So I think that's what Mark is referring to.
Well, I was just going to say the temporary trail that was constructed is on the south side and is connected now.
Yeah.
So basically, you just have to pave that.
Yeah.
If we do take out the 300 feet of rail, we're going to take a whole new
loading platform.
No, a little bit more. Yeah, you'd have to take out more and redo it. Yeah.
So rather than just pave what we have, which is not a very high expense, we're gonna cut the old track out. We're gonna tear out stuff. We're gonna build the embankment up. We're gonna put piping on it. Right. We're gonna pave it.
But the reason for the 300 feet really came out of discussions with the City of Kingston Police about trying to reduce areas of concealment. We've had a lot of trouble under these overpasses, drugs. A lot of illegal drug use, people camping out, and part of it is perception. As you approach the tunnel from either side, when the trains are parked there, you honestly can't see around them. And just that 300 feet would open that up. So you have to think about people who maybe aren't as confident, maybe being out, you know, at 5 o'clock, they're going to the market, it's a little sketchy to go by there. There would also be an increased cost if we leave them there, because then I'd have to fence it off to deal with that concealment issue. So there's not a real big cost change, because that sub base you're not just going to pave over that gravel. We still have to install some additional sub base.
I believe we're going to invite the police department to the track,
and I think that's
so
what
they
you
can
do
give
it.
Us the
right.
their viewpoint. And you know, if it's a concealment issue or you can't see, a light stanchion is a very simple way to take care of a lot of that hidden stuff.
Again, if we're going to defer to your judgment on it, but I just wanted to make clear, you don't have to make that judgment right now. We will go back and revise it, and it's easy to revise.
So
camping, go ahead.
First, I'd like to suggest that we move the resolution and get it into discussion.
This resolution is not before this committee.
It's before Public Works.
It's only, we're just discussing the letter.
Can I say on this that just to emphasize what Chris was saying, that these considerations to me, that there's now, as I understand it, and have been in motion, a plan to have the track committee meeting, but I consider this resolution to be separate from that committee meeting. And so if it's not in front of this committee, then I would certainly suggest that we address it at next week's Public Works meeting.
We haven't confirmed that yet.
If we're going to do that, yeah. But we talked about that, you were out of the room, I'm sorry, in terms of Resolution 391.
Mm-hmm. And
there would be a lot.
There were two that there was no action last night, 390 and 391.
We were going to hold off until we actually had a track meeting. So we spoke to the chairwoman last night, and she met with you this morning, Manna. Was it discussed when the next meeting was going to be?
It was discussed.
We scheduled a meeting. It's going to be on the night of caucus. It's going to be next Tuesday,
okay,
after the public hearing, before caucus. The only things on the agenda, though, are selecting a chairman and setting a meeting date. Those are the only two things that the chair wants.
No discussion.
And the postponement that was made in Public Works was to postpone 390 for 1 month so that we could have a full track meeting and have the time to hear from the police department, the landlord, Catskill Mountain, etc., and really do our due diligence. So I think that's...
Well, the reason that we provided that letter was to say you can do these processes concurrently. There's no reason to wait a month and delay the work, the necessary work that we've got to do with the DOT. I have about 8 more steps before I get to bidding with the DOT. If we don't continue to make progress on this in a good pattern, and we've tried to get this to you as quickly as possible, we miss our construction season next year. And as I mentioned last night, this was a TAP grant that we got awarded, and we have 3 years to use that money. Now, we met that deadline on the Hudson Valley Rail Trail, so we have a really good reputation right now with NYSDOT when we go for these grants, and it's important that we deliver on these grants.
So it's, I'm a little bit confused, and I think I'm interpreting your letter right, Chris, is that this stretch of track is not even within the current permit with the Catskill Mountain Railroad. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
This stretch of track we're debating that's holding this resolution up is not even part of the permit with the Catskill Mountain Railroad.
No.
So I'm confused.
They're asking for more track.
Yeah, but again, they currently hold a permit. We currently are getting this funding. I'm still confused why we would hold up this project for over a stretch of track that's not even shouldn't even impact the company, because it's not even part of the permit with the county.
I'm going to take 2 more comments, and then I really am going to. We have a very long agenda. This was supposed to be 1 minute.
But I just want to finish again, going back to what I said. The importance of this project and the impact, the positive impact it can have on the community. Somewhat concerned with, delays based on, a section of track that doesn't even impact, our current relationship with the Catskill Mountain Railroad. It's not part of the permit.
Legislator Litz, then Legislator Nolan, and then we're going to get back to the
track. Does not belong to the county, and it belongs to the Kingston Plaza.
We have the right of way there in the track.
We own the right of way.
The entire tracks are ours.
Yeah. What's that?
They've built something on the other side of the tracks that's on Brad Jordan's property. The entire track is ours.
Yeah, it's just on below the boundary on our side.
So the comment where the statement was made is we don't even. That 300.
It's outside of the permit.
Yeah,
they're not. They're in an area we've sent them.
The track is not outside the permit.
Yes, that's 300 feet.
Yes,
their permit says they have 800 feet from Westbrook Lane, which is what they asked us.
That's what they asked for when we did this original agreement.
Yeah.
And they asked for enough for 8 trains to be parked there.
And now they're up to 1,100 feet.
I'm not going to belabor this. This needs to go to the track committee.
I agree.
Because if you look at 488, or no, is it 448?
No, you have it. 488.
You look at 488, it's ambiguous. We name mileposts all throughout that resolution, but we never named a milepost on the east end, which I think is something we rushed and should have never voted on. We should have pinned that down, because the interpretation of where that is shared by different people in different places.
And honestly,
but the track committee is going to make a recommendation, since I sit on it, and I'm going to put this up, to amend Resolution 488, to put a number in there, so there's no more conjecture. Milepost is a milepost. West of Chandler Drive or east of this is open to interpretation. It could be hundreds of feet. We should have never passed a resolution that had that much conjecture. But we'll take care of that.
And this is the last comment on this, please.
So I think that's a reasonable discussion and should be held in track committee. And I would just say that we're talking about 300 feet, regardless of whether it is in or out, or should be in or out of the permit, that the planning staff has shown us that we can change at a later point, and we have a lot of later point.
Right.
So I would say, let's plan to look at it in that, if we can arrange that special meeting. It sounds like we have a date for a track committee, so we could also arrange a special meeting and go ahead and address what needs to be addressed now at those meetings.
Just bear in mind that Fawn said that it's really that meeting will be, the purpose of that meeting will be to
set a meeting, choosing a chairman, and setting a meeting.
To reconvene track.
It could be the next night.
Yeah.
And if I could, the seeker is the more important. If you want to hold up the other one, that doesn't slow down the process as much. So you could split the baby here if you want. But I need the seeker.
They passed that.
Yeah. No, tonight, but on Public Works.
Public Works. Oh.
It has to go to Public Works. And I think I appreciate that this has been a really constructive discussion.
And thanks for the time.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back to the resolution number 392, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with NYSERDA and the Department of Environment. Thank you, gentlemen. And
I'll move it.
Yeah.
Second.
Second? Okay. Anybody, Amanda, did you want to address this? It's, you know, it's very positive. Anybody have any questions or any comments on this? Ready to call it? Okay. All in favor of resolution number 392, I just read the full title. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Resolution 392 passes unanimously.
Right now it's just 4-0 until Legislator Eckert comes back. But she'll be back in a minute. She just stepped out. She'll be right back.
Okay. And we'll just double check with her?
Yeah. She can sign it when she comes back if she...
All right. And then resolution number 395, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with NUIAPIC to accept grants and amending the Ulster County adopted budget, Department of Environment.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this grant? Okay. All in favor? And we'll check with legislator. It's a good thing you paid your babysitting. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. All right. Resolution number 396. Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with NYPA for completion of geothermal clean energy challenge stage 3 design study. Yay. I mean Department of Environment. Sorry.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Excuse the editorializing.
Such bias.
And any concerns or questions, or do you want to make any comments on this?
This is a 50% cost share for what they're calling a stage 3 detailed feasibility assessment of geothermal for this building. We have 4 properties that were already advanced through the first 2 rounds of this program. The initial payback was the feasibility and the initial assessment of the return on investment was best for the county office building, so we're going ahead to look at that. And it would include things like doing test wells, as well as advanced study of putting geothermal for replacing this new system.
Any further questions or comments? I will call for a vote on resolution number 396, authorizing the intermunicipal agreement with NYPA for the Geothermal Clean Energy Challenge Stage 3. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Resolution 397, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State DEC to accept grant funds under the 2018 Municipal Zero Emission Vehicle and ZEV Infrastructure Rebate Program, Department of Public Works.
Yay.
Okay.
And this is rebate money from the state for 10 vehicles. We work in conjunction with Public Works on getting the money back from the state to help offset any incremental costs for plug-in or hybrid or electric vehicles. And this is to, we have exceeded the green fleet goal, so this goes towards the passenger vehicle.
Okay, all in favor?
Oh, we did. We move it.
No.
Oh,
move second.
And any other discussion? All right, all in favor of accepting this rebate?
Aye.
All right. Resolution. Anyone oppose? Resolution 397 passes. Resolution 398. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the New York Power Authority for solar advisory services at the Quarryville site and declaring intent to act as lead agency under CEGRA, Department of Environment. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Okay. I can't resist just saying how thrilled I am to think that that Quarryville site, which was at one time, it posed a very severe environmental and safety hazard to the people of Quarryville, and we used a collaborative process that was really groundbreaking to get that cleaned up in a positive way that was, you know, truly an example of win-win. And here it is, roughly 20 years later, that cleaned up landscape site that is no longer a hazard, if this moves forward, will provide renewable energy, considerable renewable energy. So,
Manna, how many tires were there?
650,000 tires were cleaned up. And there were people whose homes were only a few hundred feet from that mountain of tires. And so when I saw this, I was just so delighted. Talk about a good news story. This is really an example.
And my house was very close, and I really appreciated the cleanup because the mosquitoes went down like incredibly. You couldn't even be outside.
And the people who endured the Catskill tire fire, which I happened to be driving north to Albany the day of that. I saw the plume of smoke as I approached Saugerties. I thought the fire was in Saugerties, and I continued north and realized that it was in Catskill. That plume didn't. That's how horrible that tire fire was. Those folks had a $375,000 fine, if memory serves me, and they applied that to taking the tires, shredding them, and marketing them. So that was the kind of win-win solution. And then the land maybe was not owned, but was able to be used by the sportsmen who put volunteer labor into cleaning up 650,000 tires.
To kind of add, you know, it was an additional 15 years, and what happened was the significant liens by DEC on that property kind of led to the owner leaving the state, and, you know, of course, the taxes weren't paid on the two properties, and that kind of left it in this environmental limbo where there was some known environmental past, some suspicion of contamination, and also these very significant liens. So that left that property locked up for many years until the county was able to go into a temporary incidence of ownership, a TIO, to get access to the property do a phase two environmental site assessment, also negotiate with DEC to release the liens, which was, again, a lengthy, this was a multi-year process, and then once that was kind of knit up, finally foreclose on the property. We've also been working the planning department and emergency management. We were also able to figure out that that site is the preferred location for the needed radio communication tower to cover Saugerties. Mm-hmm. So where emergency management was originally looking at leasing property from the town of Saugerties, we were able to move west about 1,000-2,000 feet to the Quarryville site, actually get better coverage and be on county-owned property. So they're already out in the process of preparing the engineering for the radio communications on that site. So that'll be a corner of the site. The rest of it hopefully will be solar in short order, working with NYSA.
I'm just checking to see who the sponsors
this
are.
Committee is the sponsor.
The committee is, okay. I just want to be sure my name is on this
one. Did you add my name to it?
Happy to.
Okay. Any other discussion on this Quarryville agreement with NYPA and declaring the legislature to act as lead agency? To move forward on this, did we have moved?
Yeah,
it
Hefner and Eckert moved it and
okay.
Seconded.
And any other discussion? All right, call for the vote on resolution number 398. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We're actually making good progress here. Resolution number 401. Setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 9 of 2019, a local law amending local law number 6 of 2014 to improve and strengthen the sustainable energy loan program to be held on Thursday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. Moved. Second?
Second.
Okay.
Did anybody move it?
I'll move
I'm
it.
Sorry.
Oh, I
yes.
Sorry.
Okay, do you want to just do a quick overview?
So the program that the county had at one point, some changes in the structure of the state legislation that allowed for the loan require us to go back in and change it.
Oh, this
This is being requested on behalf of companies like Bread Alone and others who want to be able to use this low interest loan in order to build out their solar and other type of sustainable energy programs at a low interest rate.
So this is the PACE.
Yes.
This is the third revision of PACE.
Correct.
And is there, I actually reached out to them to try to understand what the difference between this and the previous was, and I haven't been able to connect with them. We haven't set up a time.
Still percentage of the capital rate, wasn't it? Percentage of the total property value
right.
That can be used towards this.
Okay.
It's been undersubscribed as a program, so they're
yes.
Kind of changing one of the thresholds in order to make it be more attractive to companies.
Any other questions? PACE is property assessed clean energy, and this is where it actually becomes a bill on their taxes that is offset by their savings. If there's no further discussion, I will call for a vote on resolution number 401. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Resolution passes, and we're up
you
to
can.
Four.
Did you want to box them?
The suggestion is that we box 402, 403, and 404.
I know that's
not correct. Oh, yes. Thank you. Good idea.
So we have a motion to bundle.
Motion to bundle.
I'll move to bundle.
402, 403, and 404, which are the solar pilots. And I love the fact that we're getting three solar pilots almost every meeting now.
Right.
A real indication that larger scale solar is coming into place rapidly in Ulster County. We have a motion.
Motion to
second?
Bundle. Yeah.
All in favor of the motion to bundle?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. So on resolution 402, 403, and 404, any discussion on those motions? One thing that I would like to just understand is each one offering a different percentage, or is it standardized?
So typically, the price is set by NYSERDA recommendations. The price is set. What you'll see when the per megawatt, I should say, it's split between the school district and the town and the county. A lot of times the school district, because they don't want to mess with their formula funding, they choose not to be a part of these. So in that instance, we split it 50-50 with the town, as opposed to the school district getting two-thirds and us getting, you know, a smaller amount and the town getting a smaller amount.
Okay.
So any kind of difference in cost that you see per the resolutions, it has to do with whether the school district was involved or not.
And the formula was established as a recommendation from NYSERDA.
Yeah, I mean, they have a range, but we're within the range. And it's negotiated with each company.
Yeah.
And generally, the financials in the projects have been getting tighter. And so those payments have been generally trending downward.
Yeah.
We don't want to disincentivize these projects by having it to be too great of a cost.
And these are what it might have been, Legislator Waltman, did you describe the term as a negative pilot? In other words, instead of a payment in lieu of taxes, they're paying on a sort of voluntary basis because they
typically
are
typically what you wouldn't expect a pilot to be.
Yeah.
There are towns that are opting out. Who forcing is opted out.
All right. So on resolutions number 402, 403, and 404.
I have the move by Jonathan and seconded by Eckert also. All right. And
all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. These motions carry, and thank you very much. We'll go back to the beginning of the agenda. This is 402, 403, and 404. Okay. Resolution 272. Setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 5, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster to include mandatory food scraps composting by large generators to be held on Tuesday, October 10th.
And so,
Second.
Some of you were able to attend. We just had another stakeholder meeting, and some very good suggestions were made, which we will follow up, including really defining hardship and then meeting with the health department and other health institutions to see if there's anything that needs to be adjusted in terms of a phase in. But overall, and by the way, almost every business and hauler that generates half a ton or more, and the haulers were called and invited to attend the stakeholders meeting. So word is out, and I honestly didn't hear any negative feedback. Questions and good suggestions. We do have some issues to resolve in terms of how to define what is the pool of people or businesses that would be defined as generators, and we're trying to get a, we've been relying on data from the Pollution Prevention Institute, which we know is incomplete and not completely accurate, and we're in communication to see if there's a way to improve their methodology. But that is not specifically in the law, but what we want to ensure is if this law moves forward, that any concerns have been addressed ahead of time and worked out. So we will be keeping everyone posted, and I don't know whether we'll need another stakeholder meeting, but there, you know, this is for a public hearing for the purpose of hearing from the public. And so do we have a motion on resolution number?
It's already been moved and seconded.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I got up on the soapbox and forgot what happened. Okay, any other discussion on the food waste composting or the food scraps composting by large generators? All right, I will take a vote on resolution number 272. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 315, establishing a policy regarding Ulster County renewable energy. Legislator Nolan? Let's move and second.
I'll move it.
Okay. I'll second.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Thank you. So the question was raised about being able to increase these goals, which is always a good suggestion to look at that. We have looked at the basis for the figures and the basis for the figures of New York State, which appeared by just the numbers alone to be more ambitious. Those New York State numbers are based on a different baseline, and there are some other considerations. So I'd like to suggest that we leave the goal as initially proposed, but that we add into this resolution language paralleling the language in the Green Fleet resolution, that we would receive regular reports or annual reports from the Department of Environment so that we can see if we are meeting these goals, or if there's new information that comes in that we can reevaluate and adjust them based on some data and information.
Go ahead. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I hear what you're saying, Legislator Nolan. I will just merely rebut by saying I know that the state of New York has actually set higher goals in certain instances. And, you know, look, to be candid, I give my proxy to Legislator Green on this matter and defer to her on it completely. In fact, that's mainly why I'm here, but because Mana asked. But you know, it's a matter in which, you know, we went through this on Green Fleet, in which Ken Cornell, you know, sat here and told us that we were going. And oddly enough, it was a committee of odd bedfellows chaired by then legislator Peter Warren, along with myself, Ken Ronk, and actually, Mary, I think you may have been on the committee back then when we did Green Fleet, in which we actually had the deputy county executive saying, oh, you guys are going too far, and, you know, we don't have enough money for this, and, you know, oh, you know, there's no way we can actually meet these goals. And, you know, the administration met them, you know, handily and very quickly. So, you know, that said, though, I will defer to Mana as to what she wants to do on this.
Well, what I want to do is just be clear that the state is talking about statewide goals. They're not talking about their specific facilities. And that is the difference. And it's my understanding that one of the reasons to not go to an 85% emissions reduction, which the state is asking for, statewide, and we want to contribute to that, but it may be that we've already achieved So enough emissions reduction that doing another 85% or trying. Amanda, would you please explain that?
I think there is some. So currently our goal mirrored the state goals prior to the CLCPA, which was 25% by 2025. We're using 2012 as our baseline. In the CLCPA, the state uses 1990 numbers as their baseline. And again, they are looking across New York State at the whole mix of anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions. We are focused on county government operations. So we feel that there are additional goals in the CLCPA for 2030. And I think that 85% goal is out in like 2050.
Yeah.
But again, when we look at our emissions, even though passenger vehicles, which the Green Fleet goals specifically address, have been easier for us to make green choices. They're about 25% of the fleet, but they only represent maybe 10% of the emissions because we have snowplows, larger trucks, buses. We're moving forward with a NYSERDA study, which is one of the resolutions you passed that will give us a 10 to 12 year plan for electrifying the entire transit fleet, which there is about 18 to 20% of our greenhouse gas emissions with just transit. However, to accelerate that, the goal to 50% by 2025 really means changing entirely how we're kind of the mindset about how we're doing this. So it would mean things like buying buses before they're eligible for state and federal aid to replace them. It would also mean things like more significant looking at not just this building for geothermal, but going back to some of the bigger, more expensive projects. So I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I think it needs to come along with a very serious price tag conversation, back of the envelope, $20 million, to move capital projects to do that kind of work. So that's my, when I see that goal, that is my earnest concern of doubling the goal without having a significant conversation about the what we have available to us to make those changes and the technology that's currently available.
Well, go ahead.
I think, everyone in this discussion, has equally good intentions, a common goal. And I appreciate this discussion because I actually feel like, thanks to Amanda, I feel like I actually have a better understanding of the original executive order than I did when actually the executive order was issued. When you compare it to the state and you have this kind of conversation, the methodology. And I do appreciate Legislator Nolan's addition of the reporting requirement. I just think in general, that's a good, with these type of plans, that's a good thing for the legislature to do. But I also think we as a legislature need to take a responsibility upon ourselves to act upon, these reports and those things. Because, I remember my first year in the legislature on the Energy and Environment Committee 3 years ago when former legislator Parody was the chair, and Amanda came and presented the report, an update on the Green Fleet policy, had beautiful graphs and illustrations and everything, and it showed the accelerated progress that we had made. But yet, we still, and I think it's still a charge that we need to look at, especially as a committee. We haven't taken action on updating that policy. And that's upon us, in a sense, as well.
I think we did.
Well,
update the goal?
No. But I'm saying this was 3 years ago, we got that report where we knew, as a legislature, we knew it was accelerated. So I think, as we move forward with this, we do have a responsibility to act when we, feel ways there is opportunities to be more aggressive.
I just want to say that, the Green Fleet is an example of a policy that was technology forcing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in looking at the two different sets of numbers for the county and the state, first of all, my intention was to try to, the amendments were to try to align them, but it is apples and oranges, and it took me a while to understand that. You know, I think we should find ways to continue to be technology forcing in terms of meeting the state's very ambitious goals. I also want to mention that a whole lot of us are trying to update the Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Plan. The energy section, Chapter 5, was passed in 2013. I think in 2013 we hadn't seen the manifestations of the climate crisis that we're seeing day in and day out now. So we're trying to update that and answer the question for the region, how do we get from where we are now to the state's goals by 2030, to the CLCPA goals by 2030? And this is essentially a brain trust of people all over the Mid-Hudson region. So I think that there'll be opportunity for further discussion with Department of Environment and the rest of the county to identify the county's, what the county has control over, but also what Ulster County as a, you know, basically the entire Central Hudson utility region will be doing to do our share to meet these very ambitious goals that the state legislature and the governor have set. So any other comments or questions on resolution number 315? Yes?
I have one tidbit before or after in addition to the Green Fleet Report, which is posted on the county website each year, we also have a building benchmarking report that comes out, and this is all the energy, electricity, and heating for each building in the portfolio, and the greenhouse gas emissions of each building. So this is another resource. We are finishing, in the last throes of finishing, the county government operations climate action plan. That has a greenhouse gas inventory in it. And because we already do the building benchmarking and the fleet reporting, it makes it easier for us to do an annual greenhouse gas inventory, emissions inventory each year. So that's something that we is already, the two big pieces are already done each year. And then the government, I think, getting the government operations climate action plan back in front of the legislature will be important, because we'll see kind of how we've analyzed the different sectors and kind of get some ideas going about maybe, you know, what kind of areas of opportunity are.
Okay, let's see, on resolution number 315, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, resolution passes. Resolution number 375, declaring Ulster County a pollinator-friendly municipality and promoting landscaping maintenance and practices to attract and sustain pollinator species.
So moved. Second.
This was amended last night, so the original version I sent you with resolutions was different. I included this as a separate resolution in your packet.
I believe we discussed these amendments.
Yeah, they were passed last night.
Yeah,
so.
We had discussed them, I think, even previously when on the agenda.
Okay.
So there was one additional one last night, which is at the bottom of the page, which is, whereas pollinators are critical to Ulster County's agriculture.
Gotcha.
Yes. Which I had wanted to say and thought I had and hadn't, and so let's put it in last night, and I appreciate you guys ratifying that one as well as the other additions.
So I didn't get who moved it.
somebody from the committee has to make that.
No, it's been amended. We don't have to amend it again. We just need to move it.
We did already.
Oh.
Who did?
Who moved it? I missed
it. I did.
Jonathan and
Brian.
Sorry.
Okay. I second it.
All right. Any other discussion on making Ulster County a pollinator-friendly municipality? Okay, all in favor of resolution number 375?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Very contentious issue.
Okay.
Anti-pollination.
Resolution number 379, adopting proposed local law number 3, a local law amending chapter 4 of the Code of Ulster County. And that is,
it's straws. I mean, packets.
Yeah, Laura, do you want to speak to this?
No, first, 379 is not straws. No.
It's
379 is the, I think, changing the definition of solid waste.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We did have the public hearing when we had a few folks come out and speak on it. I mean, essentially, I took what was already in our law and added in regulated construction and demolition material, which does include, concrete and other types of items. Specifically, the DEC had addressed this when they revised their Part 360 because of these contaminated materials coming up from the city and ending up on properties like it is in Saugerties and the town of Rochester. And we don't know what the long-term effects are. I mean, I'm understanding that the wells out in the town of Rochester are contaminated and unusable. I'm worried, especially, when we bring up the quarry on the tire, they could walk away, so they could sock in all this money that they're getting to, as they continue to take in loads of contaminated waste, and then just walk away from it, and once again, so others would be left to clean it up. So I think it's very important that we put these additions in.
So do you feel the language is strong enough to cover what we want to cover?
The language is just ahead.
Ready to call the question? Okay, all in favor of resolution number 379, amending, adopting proposed local law number 3 of 2019, amending chapter 304, article 1 of the Code of Ulster County. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Right now, adopting the plastic straws.
Yes. Okay. Last but not least, resolution number 380, adopting proposed local law number 4 of 2019, a local law amending local law number 2, a local law requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments to provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request, to include plastic stirrers, plastic cutlery, and condiment packets.
Move it.
Second.
Any discussion on the plastic straws? Yes, please.
Yes, I'm going to be a no on this, for the same reason I was a, this is not the plastic, so this is adding items to that.
Yeah.
For the same reason I had to vote no for the original law. In as much as that, I think the discussion is very worthwhile to have. I really am very concerned that we will be tasking a county department to enforce this, and there are punitive measures associated with this law, and I just don't know how we can expect the county department to prove something when that a vendor has been in violation, when it's really only someone's word whether they requested it or not. So for that reason alone, I while I laud the goals of this, I cannot I think it puts whatever county department is tasked with enforcing this, it puts them in a very difficult position, and I just can't support it.
Yes.
And again, my vote is a no, because I believe partnering with people is going to get us further to our end game than regulating it and telling them what they have to do.
I want to comment on what Legislator Waltman said, in that we're starting to have a lot of environmental laws that need to be enforced. And this came up with food waste composting because it was really stretching it to have the compliance officer at UCRA be the compliance officer or be the enforcing agent. And it just seems to me that now and probably into the future, there are going to be enough laws that somebody who is really skilled at both education and enforcement, that we think about in a future budget an environmental compliance officer. Many municipalities have that. The agency has that, but it's mainly for another purpose than enforcing laws like this, which are meant to divert waste.
I agree with you, man, on that. But unlike what we did with the plastic bags, this will never be cut and dry. What this says effectively is that it's by request only. So how does an enforcement officer know that that person requested that straw or that this condiment or the whatever, yet that person didn't, but yet they both got them, because we're not banning the material. You see what I mean? So I just think it puts our county, whatever county department's tasked with enforcing this, in a very difficult position, particularly if they reach the point where they're going to be levying fines against a local business. I think that's the goals of this are wonderful. I think it's a great discussion to have. I've said before, I think on the floor, that it's taken me to reevaluate some practices in my own personal use of single-use plastics, but I just, only for the reason I find it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to enforce and actually levy punitive measures against an individual business. I just thought, since that language is in there, I just can't support it.
I just would like to ask Legislator Hefner, if I can interrupt. Is it already in effect in Woodstock? I'm just wondering how it's going.
I mean, I haven't.
You haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
I think it passed, but it's not.
Yeah, it hasn't gone into effect yet.
It hasn't gone into effect.
But I mean, a lot of businesses in Woodstock have already
practiced.
Have already began the practice. I mean, the big thing you're seeing, that I'm seeing most establishments, is, you know, for example, at Santa Fe in my district, not the Santa Fe, but the one off of 28, they now use paper, they've totally moved over to paper straws.
They use paper straws across the street, too.
Yeah, so, you know, and as well as other establishments.
And if I may, that's wonderful. And everybody that's transitioning and moving away from single-use plastic, I applaud that and encourage them to do so. Again, it's just from my mind, it's the fact that there's punitive measures included in the law that are going to be very difficult to enforce. And if we ever reach a point where we're going to be looking to levy fines against an individual business, I think it'll be very difficult. And only for that reason, solely, will I be a no vote.
Any other questions or comments on resolution number 380? If that's the case, I will call the vote on the resolution to include plastic stirrers, plastic cutlery, and condiment packets in the local law that was already passed about straws. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose?
Opposed.
Legislator Waltman and Legislator Warrell are opposed.
So it passes 3-2.
But the legislation passes. Thank you. Okay, really quick couple of updates. Solid Waste Planning Commission, I mentioned that we now have a full plan to review. I will just state that my concern is that I think the plan is fairly comprehensive, but I don't think we have the luxury of waiting 10 years. I think we need to complete the process outlined in the plan's timeline in 5 years so that we're ready when this current contract expires. Any other comments on the commission? Climate Smart Committee, actually, there is a major climate solutions summit on September 22nd, and I actually have flyers, but I'll grab them in a minute, at SUNY Ulster, and we have superb speakers, and hoping that the county executive could join. He's been invited, so...
Yes. It's a statewide summit too. It's not just like
it's not just for Ulster County. It's a statewide summit, and we've spent months and months getting the best people to speak. And there's a lot of emphasis on students. Students are free. Everyone else, it's $30 for a full day, including lunch. And it really is going to be a memorable event, so if you can join us, you'll learn a lot. There are multiple tracks, so you can pick what you're most interested in.
But isn't it the 21st?
Oh, yes. The 22nd is the Clearwater Annual Gathering. Thank you. September 21st, and it's an all-day event. And they will be closing registration because they have to know how many meals to order. So if you're planning to go, it's just climatesolutionssummit.org. And the other thing I want to ask, are we making any progress with a green business coordinator?
We have not yet, but we will be working on it over the next
month. Okay, because we had a timeline. And
I shouldn't say we haven't made any progress. I think we've looked at job descriptions.
Okay. All right, we want to have somebody on board by October. That was the last we talked
your
about.
Your feet are
it
officially to the fire.
Developing
here. I don't know if you can feel the pressure.
Bearing down.
This is technology forcing. But the idea was to develop the job description and RFP in August, advertise in September, and hire in October. So if you can stick to that.
Still in September. We just got into September.
Okay, great. I will ask you again. All right. Any other new business, old business? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 7:50.
The only one.
I brought my own
pen. Oh, you're doing it.
Hide it.